This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Today on the Escape Hour, we are going to be talking all things United States. Now, that is a particular interest to you, being an American.
Being
originally.
The motherland, yes.
Because you're dual national, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
So, firstly, talk to us where you grew up in the United States.
Yeah, so I grew up in a little town that's only 3 square miles big, about 35, 40 minutes outside of New York City, and a little place called New Providence, New Jersey. And
Jersey.
Yeah, it is, but totally different to the Jersey you would think it is. It's very leafy and green, and my town it's about 2 hours from Princeton.
Right.
My mother's side of the family is from that part of New Jersey, but you know, in my area, so close to New York City, you know, there's black bears that come out of the mountains, and it's quite strange. You would never think that so close to you know, a metropolis that you
have.
Which
is 30 kilometers.
It's about 35, 40 minutes. It just depends on the traffic, so it's not far.
Yeah,
it was a great place to live. So it was a lot of fun growing up there. And my mother's actually listening.
Is she? Hello, Mom.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day.
happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, so no, it's good.
And you traveled to Australia quite a while ago. You've lived here
23 years.
So you must have been 4 when you arrived.
I was actually, probably something like that, still in the petri dish, you know.
Exactly. So today our conversation is turning on America. And we've got a special guest joined us.
We do.
Rowena, welcome to the Escape Hour on Joy 94.9.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me in. And hello to everyone at home listening in today.
So, Rowena, you just recently were in the United States.
That's right. I went on a tour recently across to America. I started in San Francisco. Then I flew across to New Orleans and joined an organized tour, which had a focus on America's music cities. And we traveled from New Orleans up to Memphis for a few days. And then we ended up in Nashville.
Heavy-hitting music.
Indeed.
Yeah,
indeed.
And that's what we're going to be talking about a lot today is American music scene. And we've got a couple of, one relevant song.
Fantastic.
One that's not relevant, but, it kind of is. It's going to be talking about music, talking about American history and culture. Yeah. So that's the show for today. So what inspired you? Where did you... travel's expensive. This is a lot of time out of someone's life. You invested it wisely, I'm sure. What was the spark?
I've been to America a few times previously and I've really enjoyed it every time I've gone there. But this time I decided to join an organised tour just because that way they know exactly the places to go to. They can coordinate it. You get on the bus at the time they tell you to get on the bus and they drive you and it's just organised for you. And it was something that I was really interested in over a number of years to learn more about the music history, particularly the people of colour in that country. Yeah. And I have been to your birthplace, New York. I've been to a few different places around America, but I certainly haven't been to somewhere like New Orleans, which was incredibly interesting.
And, after post-Katrina as well. Mm. So when did you do this trip?
I got back to Australia on Easter Sunday, so I've been back about a month.
So it was springtime, early spring in the United States.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So not quite the humid season in New Orleans yet?
It was certainly shorts and T-shirt weather during the day, but it wasn't too bad by any means.
Not swampy yet.
Not swampy, no.
Okay. Just missed Mardi Gras.
I was there for a big music fest, so that was really good. Next to the Mississippi River.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, it was really interesting.
Okay, so you're a big music fan, obviously. There's got to be some reason to join a music tour.
I have a long history of being involved with music. I've been involved with community music in my local area, in a choir and a number of other music groups. But actually, interestingly, I'm also involved in teaching music in a secondary school in Melbourne. So I have a long history of being involved with this.
Yeah. And so what kind of music are you teaching?
I teach classroom music to children in a secondary school. So I teach a variety, little bit of guitar, a little bit of percussion, a little bit of recorder, a little bit of keyboard. So this was something for me to expand my understanding of the music in America because it's not something that I've actually done a lot of study of previously.
Right. And a huge culture, music culture in the United
Absolutely.
States.
Absolutely.
So you lob up. How do you go about learning to what tours are going to suit what you want to do? Is this all internet-related stuff or do you go word for word?
To be honest with you, in this particular case, I saw this tour advertised in the paper.
Oh, okay. And advertising works.
Oh, yes, it does.
and this company, they've only just, over the last couple of years, promoted more into Australia. And mm-hmm. so most of the people on the tour were actually Americans. But there were a batch of Australians and a batch of people from the UK, which is where this company sources most of its guests from.
Right. So you saw the ad in the paper, thought, you know what, I'm going to throw some dollars at this. I've got some time on my hands. And so they organise flights and everything. Is it a whole one-stop shop?
I tacked on San Francisco because I haven't been there before. And I actually thought it might be nice to fly into there instead of to LA. And it did turn out to be nicer to fly into there instead of LA.
What do you mean? Congestion. The airport, LAX?
LAX can be a nightmare with going through customs and immigration and just because of the volume of flights going through. So San Francisco is a little bit less.
It still took us 2 hours to get through passport control, but they weren't rude to us. So it was really nice in that respect. I flew to San Francisco initially, did my own thing for about 4 days.
So you step into the city that is renowned for being the place where all the lost Atlantan souls have reconfigured or joined or something. Yeah. Did you hear that story while you were there?
There are a lot of stories going around.
Yeah. So they're waiting for the earthquake to send them back to the sea.
Yeah. That's right.
So what was your first impression of San Francisco?
Oh, I loved San Francisco. It was fantastic. It's really hilly. for people that aren't familiar with that, they need to factor that into their planning because it's really hilly, but it's got beautiful architecture.
It's not a skateboarder's paradise.
Yeah.
Well, unless you're going downhill.
But you need to stop. That's true. Your terminal velocity.
And for us Melburnians, it's got the what we would call a tram, but it's actually a cable car, which actually runs off the cable. So it's slightly different and it makes a different noise. And it's really interesting to see the people driving those and the person working with that person. Well, they have to actually in some way change the gears of the cable car so that it actually attaches to the cable. So rather than having wires in the street like what we've got here in Melbourne, they actually have a cable that runs along in the street.
Subterranean,
So it's really interesting and it's quite noisy as such, but it's a really fantastic service because the city is so hilly and a lot of tourists use the cable car because they're really scenic and they go to interesting places, but the locals use them too.
Yeah.
So that was well worth having a look at.
So what was your initial impression of San Francisco? Because it's an amazing city. It's quite different to anything else.
I've been to places like New York and Washington, those sort of places. So I was expecting it to be similar to that in terms of the demographic. And I found the people very welcoming and very helpful. Mm. On my first day there, I was looking for a particular venue and a member of the public stopped me in the street and said, "Are you right there with your map?" And it pointed me in the right direction. Everyone seemed really, really friendly. It seemed really, really safe as well, which was fantastic. And I really enjoyed just having a walk around. Probably the highlight was Alcatraz.
I was going to say, I was hoping you'd bring this up.
Yeah.
Tell us your Alcatraz experience because it's a fascinating island. If you're going to be a prisoner anywhere, what a view.
Yeah, exactly.
you would think it would be something they would strive for, exactly. I loved Alcatraz. It was really interesting. As a tip for anyone that's going there, make sure you book in advance because when it's there summertime, they apparently book out months in advance and there's only one company that has the contract with the national park to take you out there.
Oh, they've got a limited amount of people that are allowed, I think, because of the environmental degradation.
Yes. Yeah. And because it's a national park, as soon as you get off the ferry, you have to go to a compulsory briefing with one of the rangers so that you know exactly what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. And it's very respectful the way that they've done it. In fact, in one of the buildings when I was there, they had an art exhibition about how they were rehabilitating prisoners in San Francisco's jails now and giving them opportunities to educate themselves, etc. So it's very respectfully done.
Yeah, it's interesting though, because Alcatraz was like a city in itself. It was very self-contained, and families lived out there.
Yeah,
it was just
amazing. Yeah. That was, you know, I think that was one of the most impressive things is to see that little schoolhouse and that families and children were being raised in the middle of San Francisco Bay, and in this prison island, right in the middle of everything,
and no fresh water.
Yeah,
so they had to bring their water out all the time. So it was really worthwhile doing, and they have a tour that you can join onto. Their own little iPad type tour that you can get once you're over there, and they have a really interesting map that you can get for a $1 donation to the National Park Service.
Right.
So that was worth getting, and you can just follow that around.
Did you find it intimidating, the building?
I think I don't think it was intimidating. I think if you were at night time, you might think that way.
They do the sleepover tours, don't they?
They do.
I don't know if that's for me.
No.
I think if I had more time there, I would attempt to do the nighttime tour. Oh. But I was there on a nice, bright, sunny day and with lots of other people. So
it's a more Brady Bunch rather than...
Right, exactly.
The escapee from Alcatraz.
That's right, yes. I'm not sure how anyone would try and swim back from there.
No, that's right.
No. Well, it's a house of tears, isn't it? It certainly feels like there's a lot of history in those bricks.
Exactly.
Not always good.
But you get good views from there, so you can take great photos, and you can take great photos on the ferry on the way across, so you can see the bridge and back to the city. So it's a really photogenic location to go to, which is good. Yeah. And everyone was very helpful out there as well. I found the people really great in that location.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what are the number one touristy things you can recommend? Because not everything in San Francisco is what it's cracked up to be. It's a city of experiences. It's a bit like Melbourne, where it's the enjoying being there and around, rather than things to look at. Because I think some of the parks are rather overrated, and then there are underrated parks where the sequoias are not far out of the city.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a really quirky city like that. Yeah. I think they try and flog stuff that looks obvious.
Yeah.
But that's not the best of it.
I agree with you that a lot of the time when I've been to places, I actually enjoy just being there and watching the people and experiencing the fact that I'm in another town rather than necessarily rushing off to every point that might have been listed in a guidebook.
Right.
Mm. Having said that, I did do the hop-on, hop-off bus, which I do find to be a really, really sort of useful way when you're in a new city. It's safe, it's predictable. Yep. The people that run it are reliable. I did that, and that was really good to be able to get a general overview.
Yeah.
Just as an off the beaten track type one, the cathedral had a really interesting display and an interesting AIDS memorial section in the chapel there. Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting, and I took a picture for your general co-host, Stefan, who's not here today.
No, he's on a plane.
He's on a plane at the moment, but I took a photo for Stefan of that because I thought he would find it particularly interesting, and I picked up a brochure about it, about how welcoming the cathedral were to everybody in the community over there. So that was fantastic as well.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Our guest today is Rowena, who's talking all things USA, who has just come back from a musical tour. But we were talking San Francisco, and you were talking about the AIDS quilt, San Francisco being what a lot of people call the epicenter. Where patient one was from the AIDS crisis of the 80s. Fantastic activist history, very politically aware city. One of the first places in the world to have a Pride Centre, which we are working very hard at delivering here in Melbourne. There aren't many. There's one in New York. There's one in San Francisco. You were talking about the quilt, wasn't it? The memorial.
Well, I just found this cathedral when I was out walking one day, and I just went in because I quite enjoy having a look at the architecture. And inside there was a little chapel specifically devoted to remembering the victims of AIDS and welcoming everybody from a diverse community into that church. And I just thought that was very respectful of the community to do that in that sense. And it was indicative of San Francisco as a whole, everybody felt welcome there.
It's a city that's steeped in legend for the LGBTI community because it was such a pioneering city for rights with Harvey Milk. And it was a place where a lot of people moved to for freedom, particularly from other parts of the US, Canada, Mexico, where they 50s, 60s, 70s, after people came back from wars in the 40s, where they could be free and live lives, whereas that wasn't available in many other places, probably San Francisco, LA and New York, possibly a bit of Chicago. Yep. But there weren't a lot of places in the United States back then. And it was certainly San Francisco that became the gay city.
Yeah, the Castro district.
Yeah, Castro. Yeah. Famous for it. And Folsom.
That's
famous
right.
for other things. So what else did you get up to that's memorable in San Francisco that you can recommend to our listeners?
Well, the Golden Gate Bridge is fantastic to see.
Yeah.
And when I happened to be over there, the obligatory fog came in.
Right.
Yeah. And
you have ruined all the photos.
Yeah. Well, it did ruin the photos to a certain extent. Yes, you're absolutely right. But the obligatory fog came in. It was really strange the way that it did, because it was clear and bright one moment and then the fog the next and you couldn't see a thing. So that was interesting to see, and it was just at the time when we were near the bridge.
Yeah.
So I also did a little tour which was run by the bus company that I did the hop-off bus. Yep. They actually took us over to the other side to take photos back across to San Francisco just as the sun was going down.
From the Oakland side.
Yeah, so that was really, really interesting to do, just to get a different perspective of the city at night time, and I got some good photos as a result.
Yeah, perfect. So then it's jumping back on a plane and getting onto the music tour. This is fascinating.
Yes.
So I got a domestic flight across from... from San Francisco across to New Orleans.
Bargains.
Well, one of the interesting things that your listeners might be interested in knowing is that you have to pay to put your luggage underneath on domestic flights in America. But if the plane is very full at the last moment, the staff will actually take your bags and put them underneath for no cost. So, of course, I rather silly... paid my $30 for my bag to go underneath and could have just turned up in the queue and had it put underneath for no cost.
Like everybody else does.
Like everybody else does.
Yeah, everyone's aware of that.
Yeah.
It's US domestic flights are strange.
They're different to the way we do them.
Yeah.
And they let the people on in a different order to the way that we do it, which means if you're in the last group, you struggle to wait until the plane is almost taking off before you're allowed to go and find your seat.
And then you've got the people checking their guns.
Yes.
Which is such a weird experience.
That's a tad disconcerting. Yeah. Let's not introduce that here.
No, definitely not.
I always find it really interesting. They show the gun, they lock it, they take the key, they hand over the box with the gun in it. They're getting out, they go, oh, here's your gun, sir. And I was going, now you're in an airport with a gun.
That's right. But it's safe.
I mean, everyone should have guns. It's just bullets should cost $10,000 each. Yeah. That'll stop them.
Well, exactly. It's the ammunition that kills the people, unfortunately.
Yep. So I flew Alaskan Airlines, who are one of their domestic airlines there, and they were very good. Mm. It's a little bit like the Jetstar concept here, but you do get a drink provided to you and a little biscuit. It was a four-hour flight, so that was handy, and you can buy food on the flight if you wish to.
But then New Orleans.
I'm no good at pronouncing it correctly. I'm glad that you can do it.
New Orleans.
Really, really interesting city. Really different demographic focus to San Francisco. I spent the first day having just a wander around. Yeah. They've got the trams as well, but different sort of trams. And I went up to their World War II museum, which is one of their biggest tourist attractions in that area. And that was really, really interesting to do. The multiple buildings to go around, tours that you can do, interactive tours that you can go to, tour guides that will help you out. So that was well worth going to. Obviously, it had a focus on the American involvement in World War II, which was interesting for someone from Australia to look at that perspective as such, but really interesting. The tram also goes out to the Garden District, and the homes out there are certainly well worth having a look at. Yeah. Really, really beautiful architecture.
Yeah, it's amazing, the architecture. There's a huge food scene. Obviously, there's a lot of French and Caribbean influences and seafood from the Gulf of Mexico.
Yes. So the French Quarter was where we've... had our focus for the music for most of the time.
Yeah, there let's talk music.
Okay.
Yes.
So there was a big festival in the French Quarter when we were there, which was coincidental to the timing of the tour, but it was really advantageous to us to be able to see that. So you could just stroll down and sit next to the river and listen to a multitude of groups, all playing different styles of music. In fact, I went to a concert which was a Beethoven choral work at one point. So they had really diverse offerings and something for everybody.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Mm.
And New Orleans being famous for its music, jazz is really good. It's home.
Yeah.
Blues.
Yeah.
R&B seem to have their home in New Orleans. Mm. What was your personal take? What was your lineup of things to go and see and hear?
Well, as I mentioned to you previously, I don't have a strong background in any of those styles of music. So my view was to get exposure to anything that I could see, and that was part of the joy of being there, was the chance to actually see some of those people performing live. There was music not quite 24 hours a day, but almost 24 hours a day down in that area.
And you've got to get some time off to drink.
That's a party.
I think that's what they were doing. Yeah, that's right, exactly. So there was a big French Quarter Fest, as I mentioned, and they had the food trucks down there and the, you know, people performing at a variety of stages that they'd set up, but also your buskers that are in the street, and everywhere you went there was something that you could listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our tour group actually organised for us to go to a jazz club one night, which was really interesting. And it was also interesting for me, having a little bit of knowledge of the music industry, to know that those people were reliant on our tips to be paid that night. So that's
pretty much throughout the United States.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hospitality.
Yeah, it's a unusual system you've got to be mindful of, because if you're foreign, it's just so difficult to piece it all together, who you tip, how much you tip, when you tip, how frequently you tip.
Pretty much all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I learned to take ones. Did you learn to take ones wherever you went?
I actually was quite good with my $1 and I gave some feedback to my travel agent that please advise all of your clients to have a whole lot of $1 notes, because that's what you need.
Yeah, definitely. And you also have to be careful in restaurants too, because sometimes if they detect, especially an Australian accent, they'll add a tip onto it, and then you tip on top of that, not knowing it. You know, in a lot of cities, it is actually illegal to do that, but it does happen, because a lot of times they feel that
people don't understand.
Well, that's right. But I mean, it's just they just figure you're not going to tip them because you're from Australia, and because we don't have that system.
Only
here.
The US has it. You don't get it in Canada. You don't get it.
No, that's right.
In Europe.
Yeah. So you just have to be careful of that and just double check, so that you're not double tipping, unless the
people are getting paid
$2
an hour to be there. By
the
employer, it's crazy.
Yeah. Mm.
So they rely on tips. Yeah, that's how it works. But everyone knows that in the States.
That's right.
One of those things that, as you said, people, travel companies in America can't take it for granted that that's how the rest of the world works.
Yeah, that's right.
People get paid $30 an hour to work here. Yes. We don't tip people.
No,
they're already getting paid substantially well for the work. Not always $30 an hour, but you know, penalty rates and so forth. People get paid decent living wages. $2 an hour is.
But it's something you need to be aware of when you're budgeting for your trip, because it can end to, you know, almost 15-20% onto your spending money.
I look at every price and add 20% in my head, and that's just the easiest way to go about it.
Prepared.
So if a steak's or if a meal's $10, my head it's $12.
Yeah.
Mm. And our dollar's not trading very well against their dollar at the moment. So,
but that's not an excuse not to tip.
No. And it's also not an excuse to not go anywhere as well.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we'd just sit here not going anywhere.
Exactly.
Ever.
Actually, the dollar's bounced a bit the last week. Yeah. So, it always goes up and down.
Yeah. Yes.
So, music, amazing. San Francisco food. New Orleans food. Did you eat all that?
I'm probably not the person to ask about the food, because I'm always happy to get away from America and to get away from their food. But
New Orleans is different.
New Orleans was good in the sense that we actually did a cooking class as part of part of our tour at a professional cooking school. And so we had a 3-course dinner at that cooking school, and we got the recipes provided to us.
That's great.
It was very interesting.
What sort of things did you cook?
The lady started with gumbo.
Okay. Yeah.
So describe how you make a gumbo.
Well, the gumbo seems to be what we might refer to as a stew.
Yeah.
And this particular one had some sort of spicy sausages included in it. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Boudin, is that what they call it?
I think so. Yep. I think that was the term, yes. Yep. The second course was a chicken dish, which was quite creamy the way that she had prepared it. And it was that was very tasty. We would probably call it like a casserole. Mm-hmm. And then she had a dessert for us, which was a banana type dessert. But because they often cook with the corn syrup, it's a different sort of sweetness to what we would be used to in Australia. So it's a different type of strong sweetness in all of the dishes.
Did it have bourbon in it, the dessert?
No, she didn't cook it with any alcohol, but it was very, very sweet. Yeah.
I think the American palate is generally sweeter because of the corn syrup.
Corn syrup.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
So then our bus travelled a little bit north through Mississippi State and we headed up to Memphis, which was another really interesting music town to go to. And our tour group was really fortunate because we actually got to stay in the guest house, the Graceland Guest House, which is a relatively new accommodation.
Yeah.
But it was fantastic. Everything Elvis themed with a purpose-built cinema that shows films every night that you can just turn up
Elvis
to.
Films.
Right. Elvis films.
So
every
Blue Hawaii
night.
And...
Every single night. Every single night.
I forgot he did all those films.
He did so many films.
We watched Viva Las Vegas when we were there. And at 10 o'clock every night, you've got your peanut butter and jelly.
Really?
Peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, that's amazing.
Do you have to eat it on a toilet, like how he died? That's how he died, isn't it? Peanut butter and jelly on a toilet?
So I don't think that's obligatory.
It's probably not the best thing to do. But
it was fantastic to stay there, and they were great people that were staffing that location. They were very friendly.
So what's the vibe there? I'm imagining there's a lot of reverence because Elvis did so much. He brought rhythm, blues and rock and roll from people of colour into the wider community. He came and from a poor, obviously extremely talented, very good looking and very telegenic, made sexy music come alive in that quite repressed period. Shone a lot of light on the talent of people of colour who were being marginalised at a time of, you know, significant racism.
It's a very diverse workforce at both of those locations, both at the guest house where we stayed and at Graceland, where we visited the following day, and everybody's very respectful. And the way Graceland is set up is incredibly respectful towards Elvis's heritage.
Yeah.
It's also so camp and hilarious.
It's really interesting to see because they've set it up so you can have a little iPad tour now. You can just take your iPad. You turn up on the other side of the road and they've got a shuttle bus service because it's so busy. You have to wait in your queue and then the shuttle bus takes you across the road to Graceland and you get an iPad to do your tour, which gives you an audio tour and pictures of what you're actually looking at, and you move through all the different rooms and...
Tell me, is that shag carpet still there?
It's all still there.
It's all these lurid colours.
Yeah, everything's still there.
Hot pink and...
Everything's still there.
What about Priscilla's wigs?
I think Priscilla pops in every so often, so they're probably upstairs.
Every time she gets a new face,
But that was really interesting to go to, and even if you're not an Elvis fan as such, it's interesting to understand the background and understand the phenomenon.
Well, he broke down a lot of barriers too. Like initially, like when he was first, emerging, and he was, I believe, on the Ed Sullivan Show, and that was one of the first
shaking
televised.
His hips.
Well, they wouldn't show him from the waist down because of that, and
and now we have Game of Thrones.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Game of Bones.
It's just a fascinating thing. And I'd been to Graceland as a child, so I'm sure it's changed. We didn't have the iPads back then, but my mother actually had met Elvis.
Oh, really?
She lived in Germany, and he was over there for the honor.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
God, he lived an interesting life.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. So,
choked to death on
fascinating.
The toilet.
So, 1 degree of separation.
You're basically family.
Yeah.
So, some people on our tour decided to stay a little bit longer at Graceland.
Did they allow you to do that on the tour, or did they have to leave it?
So, when we finished in the actual house, you get back on the shuttle bus, and you can go across the road to see the location where the planes are.
Okay, yep.
And there's a number of other exhibits that are set up back across the road, so you could stay there all day and you probably wouldn't see everything because it's really big and it's really interesting. And your obligatory souvenir shop, obviously.
Yeah. So what do they sell, those clocks with the swinging legs at the bottom? bottom. And
yeah.
They have everything. You want it, they'll have it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly. So, but some
I
of our...
I love a souvenir shop in America. I went to a Christian one.
Oh.
I bought some prayer mints. They had crucifixes. Yeah, they were mints. They had crucifixes.
Fantastic.
Oh, so for a raging Ethan like me. Oh. They were good mints.
That's good.
Bless y'all. That was in the South. That was in...
Yeah.
That would be in the South.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely in the South. Because yeah. We're still in Nashville at the moment because you went...
Memphis.
Oh, this is Memphis.
This is Memphis. Yep.
Yeah, I bought them in Nashville, but they're not far away from each other. It's a beautiful country.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's one of the most undersold things about the United States is the rural area around the forest. And it is just simply beautiful.
Well, it's interesting you say that because one of the places that we went to was a plantation.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit nervous going to the plantation, thinking, goodness me, this is not very respectful to the people that were previously here against their own will.
But
it's actually been set up to honour those people.
Right.
And the plantation was really a highlight as well, the way that they've done it. And they have people there in period costume to show you how the house would have operated at the time. But that particular family who had a link with horse racing, they actually took on their people who had been there as slaves, they actually became their employees when that situation changed.
When slavery was abolished.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
So
it
was really interesting to go there and see how that had evolved and how everybody was living happily together in that location.
That's fascinating. Yeah. And just a quick question. On the drive from New Orleans to Memphis, you didn't stop at Elvis's birthplace in Tupelo, Mississippi?
No, Mississippi was an interesting trip because it took pretty much the whole day.
Yeah.
And pretty much the whole day the mobile phones didn't work. That's how remote it is.
Right.
And we actually stopped for a bathroom break for morning tea, one for lunchtime and one in the afternoon, and pretty much had no phone coverage.
Really?
And it was the day that the cathedral burned down in France. At one point a few people's phones found a signal and we got that news coming through on the phones, but it's very remote.
Yeah.
And it's the sort of, there wasn't a lot to see on the highways that we were going on apart from some beautiful forests, obviously, on the side of the road. But it took pretty much the whole day to get from New Orleans up to Memphis to our accommodation. Yeah. But we were fortunate in the afternoon after we finished at Graceland, we got to do another music tour around Memphis. So we had a local guide, which was one of the good things about this tour company is that they employ local guides who are from that specific city. And she had a lot of specific knowledge about the music industry. And we went around and looked at a number of music venues in Memphis.
So bluegrass, a big part of this?
We went and looked at a number of recording studios to see how that industry had evolved and to see...
Not unlike Joy's palatial studios.
Yeah, that's right.
a little bit bigger. we also got the chance that evening to have dinner as a group in a little restaurant just near where Martin Luther King passed away. Yep. And that location has been turned into a museum. It was a motel and they've maintained the motel and you can see the room number where that incident occurred. And you can read up, there's history on display outside the centre. You can just walk up there and have a look. So that was very well done. And Beale Street in Memphis has a very different feel to it than Bourbon Street in New Orleans. It's still got a lot of music, but it doesn't... For myself, who was travelling by myself as a female, I found Beale Street a lot better to be around. I found my own personal safety to be a lot calmer because Beale Street, there were a lot of people there enjoying the music, but there wasn't any chance really of anything going wrong.
Right.
So what were you afraid of? Or what had you experienced elsewhere?
I don't know that I'd be using the word afraid, but in New Orleans there certainly were a lot of younger people that had a bit too much to drink and possibly some other things as well as that.
Tourists coming to town and partying hard? I don't think they were tourists.
They were the locals.
Yeah.
Right.
Our tour guide told us not to take our passports to down to the French Quarter because of crime that she had experienced previously taking groups down there. I wasn't scared.
What are they with passports?
Yeah, what do they do with that? that?
Identity fraud.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's quite sophisticated criminality. It's not right. So they nick your passport and then
That's right.
Okay, so that's pretty sophisticated. Yeah.
So I felt much more secure in Memphis than I had walking around by myself in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Having said that, I'm really not scared walking around anywhere, but I just felt that New Orleans had the possibility of...
Right, the warnings were much more present.
There were a lot of police everywhere, but there are in most towns in America.
Yeah.
But there just seemed to be a little bit more of a chance of something going wrong in New Orleans.
Right.
Not that it did, but...
Yeah. And Memphis is a smaller city. It's tidy.
Yes.
It's really pretty.
Yes. And the people are very proud of their city. There were people out sweeping leaves and tidying and making sure everything looked good.
Yeah.
And we went to a really interesting restaurant there that night, which was it had a big emphasis on meat, which seems to be something that's common in America. But they had a lot of spicy dishes there that they made.
Oh,
so,
do they?
Yeah. So it was
not as sweet.
No, not as sweet, that particular one. Yeah, so we had a set menu at that particular restaurant as part of the tour group, and it was really interesting to go to.
Southern food.
A lot of barbecuing.
Yeah, it was barbecuing. Yeah, barbecue
slow
meat.
Slow cooked. Ribs.
Right, famous for it.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news, and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now. joy.org.au.
Memphis was really interesting to go to because.
Meaty Memphis.
That's right. There's a lot of meat.
Farty, meaty Memphis.
You can get your vegetarian options, but there's a lot of meat.
Please tell me it wasn't just steamed broccoli.
No, there was potato as well as the steamed broccoli.
Fried, I'm sure.
The servings are really big in America, factor that in if you're visiting over there because... Yep.
It's enough for two.
That's right, and you don't want to be wasting food if you can avoid it. It's not very good for the environment. So Memphis was really interesting. We went around and had a look at the music background around there, and then our last destination was to head on our bus to Nashville.
So it's about a 3.5-hour drive, give or take?
Yeah, so that one was quite an easy drive around some interesting locations. And then we stayed at a massive location, which I think you've stayed at yourself, the Gaylord Opryland. It's just massive.
Yeah, and it's got nothing to do with gay. It's just the Gaylord is the name. But it is a resort with, I think, 4 or 5 big hotels and a roof over the whole thing, and it's hectic. And it is one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in my life.
It's massive and you need a map to find your way around the place.
So many different hotels.
All in the one place.
Yeah.
Mm. And restaurants and shops and a radio station in the centre.
And a water park.
Keep the kids happy.
Water theme park just opened recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. But it was great to stay there and great facilities. And they had a shuttle bus that you could go on to go to the shopping area. Yeah. And I used their shuttle bus to get back to the airport, actually, which was quite handy.
Yeah.
They have a bus stop there in the centre. So that was really handy service. But Nashville was fantastic to go to.
People are so friendly.
Yeah.
Very friendly. And very keen to know where you're from.
Yeah.
I was asked by a number of staff in that centre whether I was Irish or Scottish or British.
Because of your accent.
And then we finally worked out that I was Australian. So, but they were really interested to
know.
That's
really sweet though.
Yeah. They were really interested to know.
But Nashville is the country music capital of the United States and probably... maybe the world. I mean, it's just full on there. Did you get to see any performances while you were there? Or
was Nicole Kidman out shopping?
Yeah.
Nicole wasn't there when we were there, unfortunately, but we certainly heard that Nicole was living nearby.
Yeah.
We had the chance to go to a performance at the Ryman Auditorium, which is really famous for its country music.
Yeah.
So we did a tour there during the day. And then we're able to go back there that night to see a performance of the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, wow.
Which went out live as a radio broadcast, and they apparently created into a podcast, yep, just like your show. And it's got a great, it's got a huge listenership,
yep,
and
it's
really
huge.
Famous.
Country music is huge.
Yes, and that particular show is huge, and that was well worth going to as part of our tour. So the actual show went for about 2 hours, and most of that was music. It was really right. interesting.
Mm. That's fascinating.
I can recommend really Nashville.
Yes.
So was that the limit of the music, or was there another stop after that?
Well, I probably should also mention that we were lucky enough to go to RCA Studio B.
Because some gold records have been recorded there.
Yeah, yes. So RCA Studio B has been converted to more of a tourist location now, yep, and they've got a philanthropic approach where they allow a lot of the children from local music schools to come in and do recordings, and they also still do some professional recordings with some well-known artists, but the tourist groups can come past and actually do a recording as a group. So our group came in, did a tour of RCA Studio B, were shown around all the history, etc., and then we were given one run through of a song, and then they recorded it, and we all got a CD.
How'd it sound?
How fantastic.
It sounded really good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so the whole group sang along. It was a lesser-known Elvis song.
Okay. so they'd have to pay the copyright for
it. Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
No royalties attached.
Exactly. But Elvis's piano that he warmed up on in the studio is still there, wow, and you can see that. You can also see the X on the ground of the studio where they found the best spot for vocal recordings.
Okay.
And you can see the lighting that Elvis insisted on putting into the studio to make it the way he wanted it.
Wow.
Fantastic. So you recommend Nashville to any music lover, I'm sure.
I recommend it. Absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you very much, Rowena, for coming in today, talking
Thank
about
you.
All things musical and American and meat.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You have to come back another time. Next time you do a trip like this, let us know, because we're always keen to hear about more what's out there in states that most people don't think about. A lot of people think, you know, the big New York, of course,
East
Miami,
Coast, West Coast.
East Coast, West Coast. But when it comes to doing things like New Orleans, it's popular, but then music tours and stuff, it's just a fascinating approach.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.